This is Jordan Secchio. The American people overwhelmingly applaud President Trump's first State of the Union address.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
So let's begin tonight by recognizing that the state of our union is strong because our people are strong. And together we are building a safe, strong, and proud America.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
My duty and the sacred duty of every elected official in this chamber is to defend Americans, to protect their safety, their families, their communities, and their right to the American dream. Because Americans are dreamers too.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We are all dreamers. Words from the president that Americans are dreamers too, not just those coming to the country illegally who may have come here as children. We understand why they use that title. But to this bigger idea that we talk about the American dream, that we're all dreaming. We dream for a better future for ourselves when we're starting out in our careers, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our families, for our friends, and for our nation. We dream for a better America always. So yes, we are all dreamers. It's a country founded on a dream that you could beat an empire like the British Empire and establish your own country based on a constitution, not a monarchy, not a single leader. So again, the fact that the left sat on their hands and those Democrats sat on their hands when the president said, we are all dreamers and Americans are dreamers too. Well, they were really out of touch. Here's why. Latest poll that came out, mainstream media poll, CBS. Guess how many Americans approved of President Trump's State of the Union last night? Now, I want to put this in context because there's been a lot of polls saying, oh, he's below 50% approval. And a lot of, you know, controversy surrounding President Trump. 75% of American voters approve of President Trump's State of the Union address. 75%. And you wonder why he beat Hillary Clinton so easily. 75%. Amongst Republicans, 97%. So I guess the GOP isn't running away from President Trump. Independents, 72%. They are the key voting bloc, especially in these upcoming midterm elections, because we're talking about actual voters here, not just Americans, but people who vote regularly. So 72% of independents, 43% of Democrats. That's how President Trump won in places like Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania. 43% of Democrats, even while their own party's leaders were sitting on their hands, supported the president's State of the Union, agreed with the president's State of the Union. Listen to what Jake Tapper had to say. I want to just contrast this with how the media, there's always that spin right after the State of the Union. Take a listen to what Jake Tapper had to say about those comments from President Trump.
I think President Trump doesn't quite necessarily understand just how offensive many Democrats in that chamber are going to find some of the things he proposed and some of the things he said in terms of there are Americans who are dreamers too, et cetera. Some of the things he said about immigration.
You know, Jake, I like you. You've covered some of the stories, persecuted Christians before. We appreciate that. You've always been fair, honest in your interviews. But you're dead wrong on trying to figure out the American people. President Trump's a lot better at it. He became president when no one thought he could, and he beat Hillary Clinton, who everybody thought would easily beat him. And he beat her because he went into the states that were usually easy for Democrats. And you know, another reason you're wrong, Jake, you are called the mainstream media, but you're outside the mainstream. You're in the 25% of Americans who didn't agree. 75% of the American people support what the president said in the State of the Union last night. We're going to go through what he said. We come back from this break. Give us a call with your reaction to the State of the Union. 1-800-684-3110. There has been that train accident. Appears no injuries to Republican members of Congress, but there was a bus on the track. That person has been injured, so we'll report that as well.
That's right. We'll cover that during the show and also during the breaks. 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard talking about, obviously, the State of the Union address and your thoughts on it. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on more with Jay Sekulow Live.
You
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. The President's State of the Union. Let me update you quickly because this is a breaking news for those of you who are listening to this broadcast live. The Republicans were heading to a retreat. Most of the Republicans go. It's at the Greenbrier Hotel in West Virginia, which is famous because it has the whole government can operate underground there. I think you take tours of that now because it's a bit outdated, but it was during the Cold War. And a famous hotel. You could take a train right from Washington to the hotel. A train carrying many Republican members of Congress ran into some kind of a vehicle or bus that was dump truck that was stuck on the tracks. We know now from Amtrak that no one on the train or its passengers or its staff were injured. We do know that the person in the truck was injured and could be seriously so. Prayers for them. We don't know how the truck got stuck right there. We don't know if it was unintentional and just an accident. But again, the good news is that those members of Congress are safe. It appears no reports to the opposite, and the staff at Amtrak. So we'll pray for the person who was stuck in that vehicle, who we hope was again, it was just a bad place, bad time when the truck stopped working. If there's anything else breaks on that, we'll go to it. It's getting some coverage, but I think the State of the Union right now, we've got to focus on our broadcast. And I want to kind of walk through it with all of you as you're listening to the broadcast, because I know that people watch it, but it is an hour and 20. You've got kids at home. If you've got work obligations, depending on what time zone you're in the country,
West Coast,
you may not have heard all of it. There was so much content there as well that I had to tweet kind of as it went so that I could go back through the content and prepare for the show. Today, I think what was key, obviously, is the new American moment, that this is something different happening in our country. Let's play Byte 14.
This, in fact, is our new American moment. There has never been a better time to start living the American dream. So to every citizen watching at home tonight, no matter where you've been or where you've come from, this is your time. If you work hard, if you believe in yourself, if you believe in America, then you can dream anything. You can be anything. And together, we can achieve absolutely anything.
We've seen unbelievable economic growth already in this presidency, stock markets. We've seen the return on tax cuts and tax reform to the workers. businesses coming back to America, bring money back to America. And we're literally just starting to get to the tip of the iceberg of that impact. So I do also, because this is the kind of the beginning of the speech, I think this was key. You know, a lot of times on the left, and we've had 8 years of a president who was from the left giving State of the Union addresses, and you know, the government was strong. They always say that the State of the Union is strong, but a lot of times it felt like it was strong because the government's so strong, and the federal government's great, and you know, we're strong because we have a big government. And President Trump turned that around, and it was very meaningful to me. I remember the moment I tweeted it out, because it's something that just stuck in my mind throughout these last hours since the speech, and that is bite number six.
So let's begin tonight by recognizing that the state of our union is strong because our people are strong.
Again, folks, not because the government is so great, not because Congress is so wonderful, and the executive branch and the bureaucrats and the agencies. That's not why America's great and America's strong. The state of our union is strong because of us, because of you. That's bold words coming from the President of the United States. Let's take some phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, and comments coming in through Facebook and Periscope. We ask you, if you're on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends and family, this broadcast, because a lot of people didn't catch this or just catch snippets of the speech, and we're breaking it down for people so your friends and family can get educated on what was exactly said last night in the State of the Union. There were some big things when it comes to Israel, Iran, foreign policy, immigration.
Again,
right down the line, every issue was touched on. So share this with your friends and family. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, click share now. And Logan, let's go to the phones or comments.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Worthy, who's calling in San Antonio, Texas. Online for Worthy, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, appreciate the broadcast and you guys digging through all the junk that's out there and giving us the truth. Question for you guys. President, we hear the media all the time talking about how low President Trump's approval ratings are, and it's a head-scratcher with all that he's done. I want to get your opinion of, number one, do you think those polls are accurately? And two, if they are, what can he do to raise the confidence of the Americans and get some higher approval ratings?
Sure. Well, I think the economy, if it continues on the rise like this, I think a lot of these polls, one, it's hard to poll now, especially when you ask people direct questions, not like, did you like the speech or not? Did you like the State of the Union, which is a little bit more general, but will you vote for? And we know President Trump was more controversial in the general election, and so it was obvious that a lot of people just didn't want to say that on the phone. They just didn't feel comfortable. And I think Americans are moving more and more that way. So I don't put too much weight in polls, especially when it comes to President Trump. Now, when it comes to the midterm elections, polls, I think, will tell us a lot more. I mean, we're going to know if a race is very close, and if it's a House seat in a state, that purple state or district that has elected Republicans and Democrats in the past, then, you know, the difference could be someone like, how the economy's doing. In another place that's traditionally red, it's getting President Trump into that state and giving speeches, much like he did at the State of the Union, campaign-style version of that speech. So let me go to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, because, Than, we see the wide praise from the American people, still the partisan divide from Washington. This is leading into, we are now in the midterm election year, and I think if this is the President Trump that hits the campaign trail for Republicans who need him in their district or their states, the Democrats have got a lot more work than they thought they had to take back either the House or the Senate.
Yeah, I think that analysis about the elections is spot on, Jordan. And I think if we hear more of what we heard last night, it's going to fare very well for some of those Republicans in swing districts. But I would say this, my biggest takeaway from last night was something that was really touched on by those last two sound bites you played. And it was this demonstration by the president, Jordan, that he understands who he's talking to. And he's not talking to the people in that chamber. I mean, he said things during the speech last night that should have had everyone on their feet. But people in that chamber, as the American people know, have already made up their minds about whether or not they are going to respond favorably. But Jordan, the American people are listening. So that's why when you quote that poll about 75%, that's why it's out of step with the fact that some on the Democrat side were not standing when they should have been. But Jordan, This president, unlike any that I've seen, understands when he communicates who he's talking to. He's talking beyond the chamber and directly to the American people. And to the question about electoral analysis, if he keeps doing that, it will fare well for not only him, but also members of his party.
Let me tell you something, folks. And by the way, the president talked about the Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch getting that done and appointing other. And there's been a number of judges appointed to the lower federal courts as well. Conservatives, good nominees. And you can't take that away as a huge accomplishment in your first year. Of course, the tax cuts and tax reform, mega legislative accomplishment in your first year in office. But so he was talking kind of the broader, too, that we need to get back to America. I remember we were the group, the ACLJ, fighting the IRS. We're filing all these FOIAs against the government. We see these reports about Andrew McCabe sitting on Hillary Clinton evidence for 3 months and recusal discussions coming out through FOIAs. He is now, you know, on leave for the rest of his term. I mean, you know, this idea that our government has got to get back to a place where we can trust it again, because we do need a government. Those of us who support a more limited government, sure, but we still need a government. Take a listen to Bite 17, President Trump last night.
Americans love their country, and they deserve a government that shows them the same love and loyalty in return. For the last year, we have sought to restore the bonds of trust between our citizens and their government.
So, again, this idea that in the just the last year, trying to restore those bonds, and I think one of the goals there is getting rid of the bad actors, and you see the pushback the president has received. He acknowledged, he knew when he fired Jim Comey, that the investigations on him would and his campaign would increase and even lengthen, but he did it because he wanted to restore the bonds of trust between the citizens and their government. People didn't trust the Obama team. They didn't trust Hillary Clinton. They didn't trust the Iran deal. We know they were lying to us about it. They didn't trust Loretta Lynch in the tarmac meeting with Bill Clinton while Hillary Clinton was under investigation by DOJ and FBI. They didn't trust what Jim Comey said about changing the legal term that was criminal gross negligence to carelessness. And this is so key. Because if you want to drain the swamp, you must do, Congress must act to give the executive branch the power to do something about our out-of-control bureaucracy. Take a listen to Bite 20. This should excite every single one of you.
So tonight I call on Congress to empower every cabinet secretary with the authority to reward good workers and to remove federal employees who undermine the public trust or fail the American people.
So you see, folks, we need new laws that empower the cabinet secretaries who are nominated and confirmed by our elected branch so that they can get rid of bad actors in our bureaucracy. That's how protected they are by current law. So even though they've come against President Trump, he's fighting back. He's still rearing to go to drain the swamp. We'll take your phone calls when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Get into the discussion where President Trump got into the issue involving Israel and the United Nations. I think what was also very key to this speech was his outline. Sometimes you don't get this in State of the Unions either, real specifics, but he outlined four pillars of his immigration proposal. You know, Congress, they keep saying, especially the Democrats, oh, we don't know what to pass because we don't know what President Trump will sign.
Right.
I mean, first of all, he's been the clearest, I think, president in history and says, you know, get a deal going. So I think he feels like, now let me just lay it out for you and to the American people. It's very comprehensive, four pillars. Let's go through them one by one and discuss them. So let's start. This is the pillars to our immigration and border security, the four pillars of the Trump presidency proposal. Let's start with by 30.
The first pillar of our framework generously offers a path to citizenship for 1.8 million illegal immigrants who were brought here by their parents at a young age. That covers almost three times more people than the previous administration covered.
Okay, so that's the Dreamer deal that goes along with, you'll hear later, the border security deal. I know some conservatives have issues with that, but this is how you're going to get a wall, folks. I mean, this is the only way you're going to get a wall and really stop illegal immigration. And honestly, we believe the ACLJ that the people who are here, once they go through the background checks, you get rid of the bad actors, that the people who are brought here as children, as minors, who have never lived in another country, don't deserve to be deported to a place they don't know and don't even have real contacts in, may not even speak the language. So we have to deal with it because it is the big barrier to getting to comprehensive immigration reform and border security, like it or not. So for the Democrats, he is doing three times what President Obama did. He wants to make it law. He wants a path to citizenship. President Obama didn't offer anything like that through his executive orders or actions. No plans were out there like that. So, Than, to point one, how can the Democrats possibly oppose this comprehensive deal to grant that kind of citizenship to that many so-called dreamers because of a why? Because of a border wall, they're going to oppose this?
Yeah, Jordan, on policy, they can't. They can only oppose this if they made up their mind in advance to not do it. And I just want to underscore something you said. You said he offered three times what Democrats were asking for. Remember, they were asking for permanent status for those who participated in DACA. President Trump offered all of that, and he offered a pathway to citizenship and extended it to those who not were only just in DACA, but were DACA eligible. So you're right. He has offered them three times what they were asking for on that component. And I know you're going to walk through the rest, but really the only thing he's asked in return is what you would think is common sense for actual border security, including the wall, but also other measures as well. So if Democrats don't want to come to the table on that, Jordan, what does it tell you? It tells you very clearly that what they told you they wanted is not what they wanted, and they actually want to campaign on this as a political issue because he is offering them in this first bullet everything that they ask for three times over.
Okay, here is the second pillar of four, and then we'll take some of your phone calls and comments. This is bite 32.
The second pillar fully secures the border. That means building a great wall on the southern border, and it means hiring more heroes like CJ to keep our communities safe.
Okay, so you see the contrast there. Yep. First pillar, dreamers. Second pillar, wall, border security. There's two more pillars, but I want to take some comments and calls as we walk through the State of the Union.
Let's go to Elaine in Florida online, too. Elaine, thanks for calling.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
We're good. Go ahead with your comment.
Okay, I call you from Palm Beach County. I'm very close to Mar-a-Lago.
So is it warm there, Elaine? You get some warm weather down in...
It's beautiful day.
Now, I used to live in Miami. Sometimes I miss those warm days in the middle of winter.
it's gorgeous today. I'm so impressed with the a speech last night for President Trump. I love him, and I agree with everything he said.
Yeah.
We came from Cuba 52 years ago, and we have to wait our time 5 years in Cuba before we can come into this country. I understand why Democrats want open the door for everybody. I no agree people coming here illegal and not tell me they're not having anything. It's given to them all benefits.
You know, Elaine, you know what it is for Democrats, and it's sickening. It's just politics. They think if they're the ones that get credit for letting the people in, that they'll get the votes.
Yep.
I mean, it's just pure politics. It has nothing to do with the national security. It has nothing to do with bigger policy or compassion. It's about politics, because letting people flow in illegally doesn't create a great life for them. They have to live in the shadows, and they're not going to be able to move to the next level of life, most because they have to keep – they're here illegally. It's because they hope that they can go and vote because they get Social Security numbers and things like that. And I don't want to get too distracted, but I appreciate your phone call, Lane. And you, like 75% of the American people, which is a huge number, agree with the State of the Union last night, and we appreciate your phone call down from Palm Beach, Florida. Let's go into – let's see. We've got a couple minutes here in our first half. Let's do the third and fourth pillar in this first half, and then we'll get into foreign policy in the second 30 minutes. So here is the third pillar of President Trump's immigration and border security plan, Bite 34.
The third pillar ends the visa lottery, a program that randomly hands out green cards without any regard for skill, merit, or the safety of American people.
All right, so Than, this has been a program that has been much maligned by immigration hawks who believe that this is just absurd that we have a lottery program that randomly allows people to come into our country based off nothing but it's like playing bingo with immigration.
Yeah, immigration hawks have made fun of it, Jordan, frankly, because they should. It is ridiculous. I mean, the idea that whatever number you're going to admit, you would admit by randomly selecting them is just ludicrous. This is something that our listeners will know we have long called for the repeal of. And I will tell you this, too, just from a negotiating standpoint, if you go back over the years, this is something that Democrats have consistently supported as well. Now you are going to hear that they oppose this and that they want something in return for it. That is just posturing. If you go back to the vote, everyone from Nancy Pelosi to Chuck Schumer have called for and actually sponsored legislation to repeal this. So this is something that should also unify them. I don't expect it to, Jordan, but if you look at their voting record, it should.
So then he gets into this is the final and fourth pillar, the merit-based system and the ending of what's called chain migration. I think President Trump explained it pretty well, pretty clearly for people who these terms may be new for last night by 36.
The fourth and final pillar protects the nuclear family by ending chain migration. Under the current broken system, a single immigrant can bring in virtually unlimited numbers of distant relatives. Under our plan, we focus on the immediate family by limiting sponsorships to spouses and minor children.
So, folks, there again are the four pillars of the Trump immigration and border security plan. We'll take your phone calls on that in our second half hour, 1-800-684-3110. I do want to tease out as well, we're going to get into Israel and the United Nations, but also President Trump, when he was leaving the State of the Union, audio picked up, he said that memo from the House Intelligence Committee, 100%, it's going to be released. We've got the sound. He's talking to a congressman, 100%, it's going to be released. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live, second half hour coming up.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
We will fight
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So we have covered in the first half hour, we've gone through the State of the Union by President Trump last night. Let me just reset the stage for you. The media, mainstream, oh, they couldn't stand it. Oh, it's so offensive. The Democrats, they didn't want to stand up. Oh, this doesn't work for the American people. They're not going to like this. And then the polls come out. And usually the polls aren't very good for President Trump. Even I think they like underpoll. But see, they weren't asking, do you like President Trump? Are you going to vote for President Trump? Because I think people don't love giving out info like that sometimes, especially when we live in such hostile environments surrounding this presidency. But that question was, do you support and approve of the State of the Union speech by President Trump? 75% of Americans said yes. 75%. That includes 97% of Republicans, 72% of the very key demographic independent voters, and even 43% of Democrat voters. These were all people who vote regularly. So this is not just average, regular Americans. People actually vote. So the people who go to the polls, 75% overall, 97% Republican, 72% what's most key in swing states, the independents, and that's a huge margin, and then creeping up to almost half the Democrats, 43%. It goes totally against the media's narrative, which if we have some more of, and Democrats' narrative, that this was divisive somehow, this speech, when we're talking about all of us are dreamers, Americans are dreamers, that this is the State of the Union is strong because the American people are strong. But yet the media could not handle this. This is Gloria Borger on CNN Byte 73.
On the one hand, the speech could be kind of sunny and moving when you talked about some of the anecdotes and the people who were in that gallery. And then he would turn quite quickly to America First, to saying Americans are dreamers too, to policies that are quite divisive.
So putting America first as the president of the United States is now divisive? I mean, you think about that. You take an oath as commander in chief. Your job is, one, is to protect America. I mean, that's your first job, is to protect the country from enemies. The whole point of being president is to direct the country and put and do things that are in the best interest of our country. And sometimes that means helping other countries. Sometimes that means foreign aid to other countries and being part of organizations that we sometimes don't always agree with and certainly don't like the UN or others. But it does mean that the idea behind every decision is that America should be benefiting, whether it's short-term or it's a long-term plan, that your policy goals, what you hope to achieve, will benefit the United States of America. To act as if that is somehow divisive in a country of Americans is absurd. And by the way, every other leader around the world, President Trump always says, put your people first. When you negotiate with me, you should be putting your country first. Don't try to play up to America. You go, you know, we expect that you're trying to do everything you can for your country. He is doing everything he can for his. That is not divisive. It's called being the commander in chief of the United States of America. Let's go to the phones.
All right, continuing on. Let's go to Chris. You've been holding a long time, Chris. Thanks for holding in Wichita Falls, Texas. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thank y'all so much for everything y'all are doing. Y'all are just killing it. I had a couple of takeaways and just one primary question. My two big takeaways were the Republicans going into this, and the Democrats too knew that there was one, like you just alluded to, one demographic they were looking at. It was those undecided, those independents. And you just read off those polls. You know, the two big things that these independents were watching besides Trump just killing it and doing an awesome job was they were seeing Democrats not standing. They were seeing Democrats not clapping, not applauding, and during bipartisan, where they could both rally behind. Things like those families up there that endured so much, you know, Democratic, you know, talking points like paid leave and other vocational reforms. So those takeaways were seen. And they also saw Gutierrez get up and walk out when they were chanting USA. Those independence people are going to look at what country did he want to hear? You know, if you're not going to stand up and root for your country, then what country did you want to hear? So my question is, when they turned the news on this morning, because I saw NBC's takeaway right afterwards, what are they hoping to accomplish?
They're trying to tear down this president. We're heading into midterms. It's all politics now. They don't care about what's good or bad for the country. They care about what's good or bad for their partisan politics. We'll be right back.
Yep. Video's coming up in the break.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So we are walking through for you the key policy points of the State of the Union delivered by President Trump last night, which we agree, like 75% of Americans do, it was excellent with all of the points made, the specific policy points, looking back at what's already been accomplished, but looking forward at what we hope to accomplish as a nation as well. But there was a key moment, and I didn't want to keep it from you too long because we talked about it a lot, and I think we know that the House Intelligence Committee voted yes to release the memo. I think we all know what that means now, this four-page memo documenting abuses through the FISA courts and warrant system to surveil Americans. It names people, we're told, like Rod Rosenstein, the number two at the Department of Justice who oversees the special counsel. It names people like Jim Comey. It names people like former number two at FBI, Andrew McCabe. And so the House Intelligence Committee voted along party lines to release it. Not once they did to all of Congress. Now they've voted to release it to all Americans. The White House is reviewing it. They have 5 days to review it, Than. And the president was asked last night on his way, his way out. And so it gets picked up. The audio's there. So he knows that too.
Absolutely.
A member of Congress asked him, are you going to release the memo? Take a listen. Bite 67.
Let's release the memo. Oh, yeah. Oh, don't worry. 100%.
100%. Don't worry. When asked, will you release the memo? Than, that memo and the accompanying documents that make up that four pages is shaking down Washington, D.C. as we speak. I don't want to take away from too much of the State of the Union right now, but literally the bureaucracy is shaking.
I think they're running afraid, Jordan. I really do. I mean, the congressman was asked by Congressman Jeff Duncan from South Carolina, someone who's been on this from the beginning. And just to reiterate something that I think Logan just alluded to, this was not an accident for the president. The chief of staff, John Kelly, followed up afterwards and said, yes, absolutely. The president's for transparency. We are going to release the memo. Jordan, they are making absolutely sure that as they release it, they do not release any sources and methods that are worth keeping. And again, I want to stress one thing. I do think some sources and methods are going to come out. I think what you're going to see is that FISA application sources and methods were abused, and they're going to name names. And that is important because those people who have abused that sacred power need to be removed. So, Jordan, I think sometime mid to late week this week, I was glad to hear the president reiterate that. I will tell you, though, I didn't really have much doubt. This president has been about transparency in this area from the very beginning.
You know, so again, we expect that. I mean, that could come within days. I mean, it's a 5-day clock where the White House has time to review it so that those portions, if it contains anything like that, don't get released. And by the way, let me say, if the White House finds pieces that shouldn't be released because of our national security and methods, that's absolutely fine with me. I don't think that gets to the bigger picture. But, I mean, I think we're expecting this. Do you think, Than, by the end of the week? I mean, is that what
I do.
The clock is ticking.
The deadline would be Saturday night. They have until Saturday. But, Jordan, I think as soon as they're done confirming that nothing is being compromised that is worth keeping revealed. A lot of this isn't worth being kept revealed. But I think probably, I mean, if I were going to guess, I would say Thursday. But, you know, we'll see when they complete the process.
All right. Let's get to, let's take a phone call and then get into some of the foreign policy portion of President Trump's State of the Union. So Logan, back to the phones we go.
Let's go to Randy in Twin Falls, Idaho, on line three. You're on the air.
Hey, Randy, thanks for holding on. Let's send Randy a book as well. So don't hang up after your question, comment. We're going to get you one of our signed books from the radio team.
Well, I'm very impressed. You know, I just started listening to this by accident, and I'm so impressed with this talk show. Just so
thank
I know you.
You
don't have time. Listen, last night CBS poll showed, like you just said, this morning on CBS Radio Network, they said the president spoke to a nation divided. And I says, you know, it's just unbelievable. You know, CBS, what you would have thought was some sort of a reputable source of news, is just in on the fix. And then what Representative Gutierrez did last night when he lives in the murder capital of America, or maybe not, but, you know.
No, you're talking about Chicago, and yes, that is usually in the top one, two, or three of murders in the United States per capita.
Right. Well, listen, I appreciate the opportunity. I'll wait to get the book.
Well, Randy, I hope you keep listening to Jay Sekulow Live, where you can find out more about us. It's aclj.org, so you can listen online there. We've got Facebook pages and Twitter pages.
Watch us there.
But aclj.org, if you're new to us completely, it's a great way to find out, you know, what station you may be listening on SiriusXM. You may have found us on a station driving through one city, heading to another one. So aclj.org has the list of all of our stations where you can find the show and what time the show is on. But I think it does get to his point, the nastiness in the media, which is so – we call them the mainstream as a kind of a derogatory term, but they're actually becoming really, really outside the mainstream.
Yeah.
I mean, they're starting to represent, like – only the few percent, like the radical left, the Bernie Sanders wing, or even maybe more extreme.
Yeah, different than that even.
Take a listen. This is Mika Brzezinski talking to Frank Luntz. Frank Luntz, who's a Republican pollster. I think he was just couldn't even believe what was coming out of her mouth and had correct her, Byte 74.
What you do, Frank, is you read rooms. You tell me that room is supposed to respond like this to the great dictator?
No, but they're not supposed to sit on their hands.
Really?
And I'm sorry,
I'm
but using a phrase great dictator is not appropriate.
Well, that's how he feels.
That's how he feels. I mean, see, this is coming from the Morning Joe team, you know, but Frank Luntz, it wasn't having it. And he threw it right back at her. Said, you know, whether he didn't say whether, you know, it's because the Republican is not appropriate Democrat. It's you don't call the president that, especially when they're giving a State of the Union speech that is unifying to the entire country. But that is what a lot of people, they get their news. The people who vote do actually watch the news networks like MSNBC. We know a lot of people watch Fox News, a lot more, and even more listen to talk radio. Some get their news from CNN as well. And then, but listen, really, where you hear it from, if you start hearing things like he's a dictator, and that's where you get your news, I mean, you know, and you don't have time to listen to a broadcast like ours, you're not that involved. It's very, very damaging to our country, but I'm glad that Frank Luntz stood right up to it. And again, just an example of this media bias. Let's get into the foreign policy, starting off with ISIS. There has been great gains in the war against ISIS, if you haven't noticed recently. President Trump announced last night just how far those gains have gone since we have unleashed our military on the Islamic State, Byte 44.
Last year, I also pledged that we would work with our allies to extinguish ISIS from the face of the earth. 1 year later, I am proud to report that the coalition to defeat ISIS has liberated very close to 100% of the territory just recently held by these killers in Iraq and in Syria. And in other locations as well.
Remember, ISIS Their big claim to fame, if you will, in the terror world was that they were creating an Islamic State, a caliphate. And so that they weren't just a terrorist group like Al-Qaeda that hid in the hills and then carried out terrorist attacks and then ran back into the mountains and then planned them again 5 years later. But they were actually governing, taking over cities and towns and territories. And so the first way to take them down and also to hurt their recruitment was to take down their territory so that there is no more state for the Islamic State. And in fact, they are running into the hills. And so we've seen the president not say the threat from the Islamic State is over, because they are turning now into a group more similar to Al-Qaeda in the sense that because they've lost their territory, which means they are on the verge of again losing their bigger battle very quickly when you unleash the American military, by the way, how quickly they fall, these groups that are so brutal, but at the same time cannot compete with our military. But at the same time, they're still a threat because they of their international terrorism and the lone wolf or inspired terror attack. So he didn't say they're no longer a threat, but that we have defeated them on the battlefield. And that was the big part of ISIS, was their territory. We have taken that away from them. And we are also, I'm not going to play the full bite, but Gitmo ain't closing. And we're going to be, sending some more people there in the future as well. When we come back, Israel, this is a huge a statement by the president once again on Israel, on the UN funding, on where we send our foreign funds. So the world, the whole world is watching last night as well. So you do not want to miss the last segment of the broadcast today when we dive into that. I think we all understand, we haven't gotten to all the economic news, but we've discussed that thoroughly on the broadcast, the tax cuts, what that means. People are just seeing that in their paychecks. They're seeing the bonuses. They're seeing the work come back. The stock, it's not just the stock market that's on the rise. It's the little guy too. And we're seeing that the corporations are doing, even though it's being mocked by Democrats, $1,000, that's nothing. Well, if you're Nancy Pelosi and you're worth, I don't know how many millions of dollars, maybe it's not. But for everybody else, $1,000 goes a long way.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, more out-of-touch Democrats. Remember that as we get closer to election season. Logan, tell people how to get involved.
That's right. We have a couple lines open. If you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110. We'll take a lot of calls in the next segment. You can also find us online broadcasting on social media. You can see us. Actually, you don't just have to hear us. You can see our beautiful faces. You can find that on Facebook and on Twitter and Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow. We'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live. But again, just one line open right now, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. So we've been walking you through the State of the Union and parts that we feel are most important. And there were a lot of parts about the economy. You know, we played the American dream that we Americans are dreamers too, that we are the reason why the State of the Union is strong, the American people are why. There's obviously a lot of specifics you can get into, and the president did on the tax cuts, which we have on this broadcast many times, and we applaud that, supported that on the tax reform that's been done as well. But again, we have an hour, and that speech was over an hour. And not, I don't think, because of the president talking too long, because the applause lines were so long for many of the statements he made, bold statements that he made with a wide support. But I do want to get into the foreign policy section. So we covered some of ISIS. Here now we get into this Israel and Israel's and American allies and American enemies. Take a listen to Byte 47. It's a direct statement that, again, the whole world had to hear again.
Last month, I also took an action endorsed unanimously by the U.S. Senate just months before. I recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Okay, this statement went on, but literally there were 30 seconds or so of applause. So we've had to cut this up into two. So we know we've talked about that. The president has recognized Jerusalem as a capital. We now know that the embassy will be moving within the end of 2019. I think they're going to be moving
by the end of next year.
Yeah, into next year. The vice president announced that when he was in Israel. But he made a broader statement to the whole world about his recognition of Jerusalem. And it ties right into that funding to the United Nations that you all ask so much about, that we all are so concerned about. Byte 48, a very strong statement, not just the United States. This was a statement to the world.
Shortly afterwards, dozens of countries voted in the United Nations General Assembly against America's sovereign right to make this decision. In 2016, American taxpayers generously sent those same countries more than $20 billion in aid. That is why tonight, I am asking Congress to pass legislation to help ensure American foreign assistance dollars always serve American interests and only go to friends of America, not enemies of America.
That'd be, I mean, it sounds like obvious, but Than, that would be a huge change in the way we have conducted our foreign policy. We've already seen that some with Pakistan. Pakistan was put on a watch list for its religious freedom violations, and so they stopped receiving some defense funding because they weren't cooperating with it when it came to intelligence. So we're already starting to see it bilaterally, but now the president's talking about it at a much broader level at the UN. But he needs legislation to be able to accomplish that.
I like these two sound bites, Jordan, really for the same reason. On the Jerusalem point, he called the United States Senate into it and said, look, I just did what all of you said I should do. Did you mean it, or was that a political vote? And then on the funding question, Jordan, a lot of people miss the point that the United States Congress, both the House and the Senate, are the ones that send the dollars out the door in the first place. So just by way of example, the Palestinian Authority, they should not be eligible under federal law for a funding or for funding from the United States because of their partnership with Hamas. But guess what? The Congress keeps sending the president the dollars. The president has withheld those dollars. But what he has said is, I'm going to put it back in your lap. Quit sending the dollars out the door in the first place. It's exactly what we've called for as well. And Jordan, what I loved is he exposed that they are complicit in this as well.
All right, let's go to the phones. In our final segment, we try to take as many calls as we can. We've walked through a lot of content. There's one more piece I want to play from the State of the Union. We'll do that in a few minutes. Let's take another call.
All right, start with Joseph in Staten Island on line six.
Hey, Joseph.
Hi, Jordan. How are you? I'm so happy I got in. You guys are doing great work. Thank you so much.
Hey, Joseph, you hung on for a long time, so don't hang up. We're going to get you a signed book. So stay on the line after your question or your comment.
Yeah, I got a couple of comments, actually, really quick. Sure. I just wanted to say that the president hit on everything he needed to hit on last night. It was a very Reagan-esque type speech. I also feel that he was very presidential and very professional last night, which he needed to be to the American people. That's why 75% of the people loved his speech. 45% of Democrats liked the speech. Mm-hmm. So my question is, the 45% of the Democrats that liked the speech, what did they think about the Democrats sitting down? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's all for optics, all for optics. And most of those Democrats that are sitting down are in the purple. Just quickly, Than, they are in the deep blue seats, so they have the ability to basically disrespect, even on very popular points, the President of the United States by sitting down because their constituents are pretty far to the left.
Politically, you're never going to get them, Jordan, but I will say if you continue to offer three times what a member in a purple district is asking for and that member continues to say it's not enough, those members, Jordan, they will lose their base over it.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, listen, I mean, with the DACA deal that is on the table here and then getting border security for that with the wall, I mean, even if you're in the far left, we're talking about three times what President Obama was going to do and a pathway to citizenship. Actual law, not executive actions that no one can rely on, for the border wall. An actual deal-maker president, and those Democrats are sitting down on their hands. Why? They don't actually want the Dreamers to become American citizens. They want to leave them hanging as a political issue. That's why I've never really respected their positions. They are never willing to negotiate or compromise. Let's take one more call and then get to the issue on Iran. Let's take Bernadette's call.
Yeah, Bernadette, thanks for holding as well. You're on the air.
Okay. Hello.
Hey, go ahead with your comment.
Okay. My question is why is it that the United States of America has to take responsibility for the parents' decision to put the Dreamers into this position? Why do we not take responsibility for ourselves?
Well, and
why
is it? Okay, so I get the question. We allowed it to happen. Okay, so we allowed all these minors to come in. They didn't violate the law. I mean, they're minors brought here against their will, with their will. It didn't matter. It was their parents who were the criminal actors. They were just with their parents. So there's no crime they committed. They don't know another country. That happened because we didn't have secure borders. We still don't. So to prevent it in the future, we have to secure the border. That's why there's not going to be a deal on this unless there is a secure border so that we don't keep facing this time and time and time again. There is one other topic I wanted to mention, too, because Iran, we work with closely, worked with pastors imprisoned in Iran. We follow, of course, the nuclear Iran issue and threat Iran poses to the Israel and the United States with its nuclear program. But we also have to remember that it is a nation of people who have twice tried to stand up to their government in protest. Once was in 2009. Let me contrast that with what President Trump had to say about the most recent people's uprising, good people's uprising in Iran in last night's State of the Union. Another message to the Iranian people, Byte 49.
As we strengthen friendships all around the world, we are also restoring clarity about our adversaries. When the people of Iran rose up against the crimes of their corrupt dictatorship, I did not stay silent. America stands with the people of Iran in their courageous struggle for freedom.
You understand there, that's not a warmonger. That's someone who is making that distinction that we've all made, that most of the people in Iran are good people seeking freedom and to get out of the chains of a religious dictatorship. And when they rose up in 2009, remember the Green Revolution? The president, President Obama, endorsed the government of Iran, not the people. The government of Iran. Our president, President Trump, is standing with the people of Iran. It's a big difference as we walk through the State of the Union today on the broadcast. We will talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.